This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I remember when I was much younger than now. I used to sit and listen to the news. I was the only child. And another day and another night, wishing Daddy would come home. Me and Mom couldn't sleep at night.
The exits went off the fire for the face without the ride. So determined. He sent his regrets that he's missing in action.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Honolulu, Hawaii. So you look over at the, there's a palm tree, a single palm tree that sits over one of the buildings here, and then you look up as you go over the pali. Really spectacular. And look as though the rains are coming in, and they've been threatening to show up, but we're not getting them yet. A little sprinkle here and there. So anyway, that was a ballad for a fallen soldier. And I played that this morning. I know some of you lost some coffee, probably shook the coffee in the coffee cup and then moved off the table. But the reason is I played that. There's a couple things that are occurring here on the political front that I would ask or suggest you pay some attention to. As always, you know, you think government is working for you. But sometimes it's working for you, but not with you, so whatever that means. What it means is that within, just take the state of Hawaii itself, we have some behavior here that I don't think it would even qualify as a dictatorship or fascist. It's a hybrid of so many things, and one of the common elements is self-interest, self-promotion by the so-called politicians. And are they politicians before they get in the office, or do they become politicians? And before they get in, did they have intentions and found this is a way? Here in Hawaii, it's you can win by just a handful of votes. And it does not mean that you're not as evil as a guy who wins have to win by 100,000 votes or so. We're susceptible here in Hawaii. And so one of the things, there's a bill, HB 622, House Bill 622, and concerns. And what it does is basically it speaks about who's a journalist and tries to define that who's the journalist and who's not a journalist and who has to disclose information and who's exempt. And the companion bill, there's a companion bill in the House and the Senate. And so it's really brings some concerns to my mind and for what it's worth for me, what is happening. Let's say you hear something on my show, and they want to twist my arms and say that they want to know who it is, they being the government, by the way, want to know who it is that told me or tipped me off, or which I could then go to the public and share with you the facts, the crooked behavior that's occurring. Well, they're now trying to, and by the way, if the name Clayton Heath sounds familiar, it seemed to be always with something underhanded and funny, but yet another one. But there's a couple players here, the governor, Neil Abercrombie, who would benefit. See, when he was in the House Committee on Arms there in Congress, he met a lot of people, lots of people. And he has moved in his actions, as we've shown, he can create an executive order lifting or suspending the environmental laws and laws of protecting land zoning and all of that, and never tell you about it. And in that case, someone tipped me off. Now, if they wanted to, you know, I guess they could have gone to my house at midnight and rousted me out and forced me by gunpoint to make me tell who it was that told or tipped me off, because I wouldn't qualify as the accepted journalist. And I'm going to try to talk about this in a fashion that without all of the fancy words, so that many of you out there will understand. And I'm not saying that you don't understand fancy words. I want to keep it as simple as possible to reflect that this is just a simple encroachment on the rights and an infringement on the rights of free people. And if I was a Southern minister at this moment, I'd say, amen. Well, what is going on here is unthinkable, unbelievable on the part of so-called Democrats and a Democratic government. So I'm going to read portions of this, and in that, what it is, it's to the introduction is, I don't know. I just, let me just go here. It's about, and if you go to the Senate website or the legislative website, and basically taken exactly from what they're saying, quoting, it's the report title is Evidence, News Media, Privilege, Shield Law. This is what it's called. And it's relating to evidence. Clarifies that a journalist or newscaster may invoke the privilege based on previous employment only to the extent that the information was obtained during the period that is previous employment. Repeals unpublished information from the scope of the privilege. Repeals specific conditions that a person may demonstrate by clear and convincing evidence to invoke the privilege. Expands the exceptions to claiming the privilege for substantial evidence related to a potential felony or serious crime involving unlawful injury or persons or animals. Adds that the privilege does not apply if the information is sought by a defendant in a criminal case who has a constitutional right, the information to that information is sought by the defendant in a criminal case. Clarifies that only individuals who validly invoke the privilege will be shielded from fines or imprisonment, and adds definitions, makes permanent the news media privilege against the compelled disclosure of sources and unpublished sources. And it would have been effective 6/29/13. That's Senate Draft 1. And some of the people that promoted this, it was introduced 1/18/2013. It was pending. The introducers is Takayama, Choi, Har, Ichiyama, Ito, Kawakami, Oshiro, Sei, Tokioka, Tsuji, Yamani. Now, I got to tell you, I know some of these characters, and that's what they are, because they don't rise to the occasion. You know, we can't even trust them to come clear. Take Har, for example, just on gay rights or lesbians and transgenders and the rights of those people and those groups, and can't do it. That's just one example. So why are they trying to infringe or chip away at what, instead of weakening and insulating anyone? You have a right. If you see something as a witness, or you witness something being done illegally, or whatever, maybe it's a murder, who knows? You're now, through this law, for some reason, if you're a blogger on the website, or if someone calls you up and tip you off or provide you with information, the government can force you by this law, can exempt some people and force others to tell or talk. Imagine what that does. It's frightening. And I say that I'm not one who wish to debate the gun laws, and I don't want to cross that bridge and join the two. But what if one cared to look back and say, well, we're discussing seizure weapons and controlling the guns and what have you, and now we're seizing the ink pen or controlling who can use the ink pen, because apparently the typewriter and the computer is out now, according to this law, the way I see it. So you, in other words, have to be working for a large company that has been in the news business for a while. And we know how accurate all those are. And we know that they are independently owned by individuals who has the sole interest of America and the Constitution in their hands and in their thoughts, right? Well, I'm just being facetious. We know that newspapers are owned by larger entities and enterprises and companies now. And we know that at all the time there has to be regulations as setting up. They have to get approval to buy and sell stations. So why do you suppose that? So why are we deferring or allowing a business-type organization, news organization, to be exempted if there is a law? Why them? And when the average American citizen will be basically held accountable or forced to share or tell or disclose his source of information. And I guess that one would always know that some of us will be willing to go to jail. We would never tell anyway, because the idea is it's to, if you have that element of surprise or anonymity, if you have that in place, it makes for a better government. Because why is this necessary? Business has infiltrated government. Business has taught and trained our elected officials to buy into organizations that are quasi-government. Just an example, Nelha, the Aloha Tower, where the businesses get in with business intentions and they make it a hybrid, part government, part private. And they use that. So when there's something, let's say land at Kaka'ako, for example, is going to be exchanged and there's some underhanded behavior going on in the back room and they want to develop Kaka'ako and they take and give the Hawaiians some crappy land that's contaminated and what have you, or substandard, and there's issues of paying the ceded land fees. And there's a lot of craziness and lying and cheating going on to put this package together. Now, I'm not saying that that's happening, but it's just what is going on at Kaka'ako just raises a red flag. So imagine someone, if this law passes and the definition, and that someone came and provided information that they know factually, like you've heard on our show here, where the governor is secretly, not the governor, his aides and his attorney general is being taped for behaving in a fashion that doesn't rise, it's just not, doesn't sound ethical. Imagine now, you hear that on this show, or you hear a blogger, another blogger gets it, or a person that's an online paper gets that information, publishes it. What's going to happen is that they will be able to compel or force that person to tell his source, or that person to tell his or her source. So imagine where are we headed with this. And in a predominantly Democratic climate, the House is filled with Democrats, the Senate is filled with Democrats, majority, and you have laws like this being introduced, it's about time to start asking the question, what is democracy? And what is a Democrat? I think we would have little difficulty in defining what a Democrat is now these days. Clearly, when it comes to guns, when it comes to the rights of others, when it comes to spending our money as tax dollars, no accountability. They lie to us in their polls and their surveys to get what they want. They hire their friends. They bring them. It's like a revolving door. I'm in, you're out. I'm in, you're out. And so imagine Clayton, he, and others that would want this. The Senate bill for that I mentioned was 828, by the way, if you want to go and look at it. So my concern is you take a person like Ryan Yamani, who's a state representative, but working for the health department as a full-time employee. Now, what if someone saw him screwing the people, taking money from them, right? Cheating on his time card, and while he's claiming he's at work, he's doing something else, and just taking bribes. And someone reports him. then what happens? You see, when people like that write up these rules, it becomes a concern. It should not have done anything. So the for 129, I'm just going to go through here kind of recklessly, but on 129-2013, January 29th, the Committee on Judiciary recommended that the measure be passed with amendments. The votes were as follows. 11 A's, Representative Rhodes, Haar, Bilotti, Brower, Ito, Kawakami, Lee, Chrisley, Tsuji, McDermott, Robert McDermott, Thielen, and the A's with reservations. Representative Woolies was an, and the no's were none, and two excused, which was Cabanilla and Carroll. Not Carroll Cox, by the way. Representative Carroll. So these people actually allowed this garbage to even enter the halls of the Senate or the House. It should have been stricken. They should have had that moment of, what the heck is this? You know, it should have been something else, but this is radio, and we want to be careful not to offend the virgin ears of some of the legislators. I believe that, for me, that this behavior is more vulgar than any curse word you could ever hear on radio or TV or read in the paper, believe it or not, because this strikes at the very purpose of the, quote, American way, or the American belief. So when we look at this, it just kept floating through, and then Clayton, he introduces some of the things. And listen to some of the language here that they, your committee, they wrote this to Josuke, and a bill for an act begs to leave the report. The purpose of this measure is to protect the freedom of the press by making permanent the limited news media privilege against the compelled disclosure of sources and unpublished information to legislative, executive, or judicial officer or body, or to any other person who may compel testimony. The American Civil Liberties Union, Hawaii Shield Law Coalition, Community Alliance on Prisons, and one concerned citizen testified in support of this measure. The Department of the Attorney General provided comments to this bill, suggested amendments, including language in the preamble to acknowledge that certain amendments suggested by the Supreme Court Standing Committee on the Rules of Evidence are incorporated in the codification of the limited news media privilege. 2, expanding the exception of the privilege is to include cases where there is substantial evidence that the information sought is material to the investigation, prosecution, or defense of a potential felony or serious crime involving the unlawful injury of persons or animals, or any civil action. 3, clarifying that only those who validly invoke the privilege will be shielded from fine or imprisonment. Making technical, non-substantive amendments to clarify consistency and style, as affirmed by the record of votes of the members of your committee on judiciary that is attached to this report, your committee is in accord with the intent of the purpose of HB 662. And anyway, the Attorney General is advocating for this. And who does the appointment of the Attorney General? Neil Abercrombie, the governor, gets that luxury. And so this bill should never have made it the first letter of the inking. It should have been killed right away. Should never even been thought of. But that tells you how low we have gone in a so-called, I think it's we're attempting to emulate a democracy by word, but by action, we are not a democracy any longer, because our so-called leaders need to be aware that certain things should never rise to the occasion or the level of recognition. And so that's what should happen, you know. And what is troubling about this? I don't know Let's say there's a situation. Clayton Hee's brother, for example, the Sandwich Isle communication. Now, Sandwich Isle's communication received a large sum of money to having something related to putting phone systems and communications on Hawaiian homelands. Now, we know the swing of things has been, the average person has a cell phone now in the infrastructure and what have you. Are they delivering what they promised? And let's say, what if now? This is just a what if. There's no proof these things have occurred, and I'm just using it as an example. But what if someone working for us, that company, found something to be illegal and reported it? Can you imagine the hunt that would be initiated to find out who it is so that they could destroy that person? And that would apply in anything. It gives the government the control to first, to by simple use of words, to define who can and who cannot be shielded from receiving a, not a secret, but information that would point to some wrongdoing on the part of a governor or senator or anyone. And they would be compelled, for what purpose? I mean, if the facts are the facts and the information is there, does it matter who? Now, one may argue, well, they're releasing that information to manipulate or influence voting or the public voting. But again, if it's facts and if it's true that the names involved that are being mentioned, then what is the problem? Why should the government be allowed to define who can receive information? And so there's a lot of problems with this. And if you enjoy the supposedly now, I would be exempted. And again, I'm not asking speaking on this subject for the sake of shielding me, because I'm going to just tell you up front, I'm going to talk. If any of you feel that you got information and you know that it's causing harm to the general public, the taxpayers and others, please call me, and they'll just have to string me up, because I'm not going to be disclosing anything. You have my assurance for that. I'll sit and rot in jail if that is the need, because you cannot have a behavior such as this when we know the integrity of the people designing and authoring these laws fall off the radar. You can't find them when it comes. Look at their names and try to find integrity. The word integrity, anywhere near them. They subscribe and ascribe to nepotism here in the state. They are easily bought off. They will take a trip to the famous hot dog factory just to get some kind of free treatment or treat. They'll take golf games from anyone. They'll get a discount on the house from anyone. They'll do all of that. And yet they can't find themselves in the right mind to write up an ethics law that is airtight and specific to contain any rogue senator or rogue representative or other politician, a worker in the workplace. But yet they have time to sit down and define what it is that who can be told that their congressman or senator is stealing from them or lying and cheating. It's absolutely crazy, and that's what this is about. As I say, the fancy words, I wished I could sit here and talk about them in that fashion, but this is basic, elementary defrauding of the common people. Because if they can control the information, and they already have now in place where you take, for example, the subject of Hawaii Youth Authority, that we did two weeks ago, and the things were being disclosed on that, the allegations of bribery by the administrators and the use of children or the juvenile wards there that are being approached, the allegations were made. And then the allegations that were disclosed, the claim that an individual on leave, two individuals, 9 and 8 years of administrative leave with pay, Now, that basic information, as simple as it, you would think it's innocent, but if the attorney general, if the governor wanted to protect this image because he might want to run for Senate or whatever, or elevate, or the person's involved as a political connection, then they can go on the hunt. They can come to me and say, well, if according to this law, if I wasn't privileged, and you know, by their definition, they define who's privileged. So imagine, if you come to me with that information as someone did, and I disclose it on the radio, now, wouldn't it benefit the taxpayer to know that two people, for example, is on administrative leave would pay for a total of 16 years or so? That's straight out of the taxpayer's pocketbook. And all that, and the governor and others hired people that allow this kind of nonsense to occur, so they can return to the scene of the crime and start asking, who told? Well, if they can't find out the way this law is written, they can come to me and say, well, you know, you're not shielded. By definition, you're not shielded. You're not protected by this law. So you need to cough it up or else we're going to put you in jail. And then I would quickly say, good, I don't have to pay for my meals any longer. You know, so this is an affront to democracy, and if you don't believe it, I don't want to scratch the chalkboard and make you feel how important it is or how sickening this thing can be. But when a government attacks the source of information to the people, that's wrong. And when a government, as example in this town, today you see the reporter Carol Cox talking about the DOT and what have you, and tomorrow you see Carol Cox now is the public relations person for the DOT. Or for, there is one personality that was, I don't know if she's still on public radio, but in the process of finding, doing the Hawaii Youth Facility allegation, the story to me, I learned that a public radio character was now the spokesperson for the Department of Public Safety. So that's not a crime, but imagine, so if you know you have a small market here that not many jobs available to the large cadre of reporters and news people. So they're already walking on eggshells because they work on stories that are, many of them are handed. The independent journalist is, I would say, is a rare bird in this state. So imagine they've already nipped and tucked and controlled that. The industry control them. A company buys the news source, and then they get their marching orders. So imagine you, what are you really hearing then? Right? You're already hearing, you know, and this is not an attack on anyone, but let's say if one source gets it wrong. And what if a story, and we see stories being inaccurately reported. Let's say the Star Advertiser writes an article and it's incorrect. And that shows up in the morning at your doorstep. That evening, you see it on the news, according to our friends, Star Advertisers reporting the story. And yet, there are the inaccuracies. Late that night, it becomes known that there are some inaccuracies. So the next morning, it's reported. There is so many pitfalls and dangers, and this is not to say that's something orchestrated, but you're left as a reader or a person, as a free-thinking citizen in a democracy, that your government is instrumental in defining who can receive information and who can disseminate that information. So anyway, I'm getting a little dry mouth on this, but I got a friend who's does a little business here, and this is not a commercial, but it's he's a good kid, and I wouldn't call him a kid. He looked like he's getting gray hair, but Ron Erlach, and he has a business and that he's starting up. It's a mobile auto enhancement. And if you want to get in touch with Ron, you can call him at 954-0323. And again, this is not a paid commercial or anything. It's I've known Ron for a while. Pretty good kid. An attempt to reach out and help. I invited him by. He's starting. He have done this business, auto detailing anyway. And Ron, tell us a little bit real quick about you and how. What do you do?
Morning, Carol. I've been in business almost close to 12 years. Specializing in auto detailing, waxing, mm-hmm. polishing, shampooing, water spot removal. I have an employee that I hired shortly will be coming on with an iCar experience, meaning it has auto repair collision experience. Mm-hmm. He can apply a fine scratch to medium grade scratches removal. Great guy. I mean, that guy has a lot of experience. He's got more experience than I do when it comes to body shop related issues. So scratches, we may be able to pull out some unreal stunts as far as scratch removal is concerned.
So you can make a car feel and look good.
Pretty much.
Well, I didn't know you had all those talents, and I'm embarrassed to say that when I drive you around, it's what are you thinking?
Nothing. No comment.
Hey, got it. Yeah. But that's a work mobile.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. It's not to look pretty.
Right.
But I've seen some of your work, and I marvel at it. How do you manage to? What do you do? What you use special chemicals or?
Yeah, we have.
People would be concerned. What are you using and
right,
how is it used?
Being that we're mobile, we need to be able to get waterless material, generators, and not tapping in people's houses. Period. We come in with a dry wash, which is a silicone base mm-hmm. cleaner. It replaces soap and water. What it does is it repels dirt off the paint like soap would. Mm-hmm. When it comes to powering our tools, we have a Honda generator. It's a small, compact generator, mm-hmm. quiet, efficient for us, and as well as for the neighbors. And yeah, that gives us access to
the mobile. Then, because I've often wondered, if I were to call one of these people in services in, there would be soap. And I would be concerned soap running down the drain and my neighbors getting alarmed and seeing chemicals and what have you. So you're saying your method is going to limit that kind of thing?
Correct. There shouldn't be any type of runoff. As far as cleaning rims and tires, we do have a containment catch mat. There is absolutely no runoff. It's a biodegradable degreaser that we use, so she breaks down everything. We do have oil absorbent pads that contain and catch the sediments that come off the brakes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to break dust or the rims that come off. Mm-hmm. The degreaser, again, biodegradable. So when we leave, we clean up everything. We contain everything, and we throw it out everything, mm-hmm. yeah.
Because you can see what person would be concerned with. Huh?
Right.
And then prices are pretty reasonable? Or some basic price structure, what do you have?
Yeah, we got everything pretty much. We got four different levels of packages. Very competitive with the rest of the detailing world out in Hawaii. We got four different packages. We got a hydro gloss, which is our entry level, amber gloss, liquid gloss, and the final detail. All packages come with an upgraded service. So if you want to step it up a notch, you want to make it slick, silky smooth, or you want to just have the interior worked up a little bit more than usual, those are the packages to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that would be any time, and what's your hours? Is it on weekends? Because some people are only available on weekends.
We're running 7 days a week,
okay.
By appointment, so we can kind of consolidate all our appointments and schedules. Mm-hmm. We are offering 10% off to first-time customers. We got referrals of multiple vehicles. Prices can be negotiated depending on condition, if you got multiple vehicles on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that, guys, as I say, this is not a paid commercial, so don't. I've known Ron and for a while now, and we hike and do whatever to get out there. And he seems to be in pitch of health, and I seem to be the Pillsbury Doughboy lately. So anyway, but if you want to get in touch with Ron, 954-0323. and an email, or you can go to his website at mae808.com, and it's the mobile auto enhancement. So anyway, I just thought I would invite him here. As you know, that's what I try to do, is give everyone a helping hand. So we'll talk some more about it and ask him. And if you have any questions, but I'd like to hear some of you talk about. I see we have a call. Hold on here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Thank you very much. I don't want to change the subject from your guest, but at the last session of the full city council, before the new council, I testified.
Well, now I thought you said you didn't want to change it. No, I'm kidding. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm very, very, very upset on behalf of all of us, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I found Mr. Garcia guilty conflict of interest. I had the county clerk documents in front of me. By admitted conflict of interest by himself. Nestor was found guilty, and he was fined $1,600. Garcia was allowed to sit on the city council, deliberate, make proposals, vote on proposals. Let's consider the rail. Not only as a member of the council, but only council members could bring charges against him. And then if they were to bring charges against him, he would just be censored, which means absolutely nothing. He was the council member, and I have it here, and I will try to read it very, very quick. We will have a hearing on technology other than steel on steel, Nardias, unless I hear some evidence that tells me we should choose some other than steel on steel. I'm going to recommend these bills don't pass out of committee. So if you want to know why we got steel wheel, that's one of the most significant reasons. He's also the one that wanted to prohibit TV live of the council deliberations. He also wanted to raise the after-school care from $25 to $75 for each young person. Throw in the GMO and his support for that. And I could go on about what's happening with the consolidation of rail, bus, and van. If you wanted me to, I could. I went to both last week's debate at the University of Hawaii. That was absolutely outstanding. And you had Grabauskas and Kwan versus Panos and Ross. I also was at the hearing at Middle Street on the consolidation of these three modals. And that is why I am so angry. Please, please, public, they're taking the money out of your wallet and out of your purse.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Richard, funny, and I hadn't spoke to you in a while, so first I'd ask where you've been, and don't go away so long. Secondly, I do have was going to speak about Nestor Garcia.
Good.
The Chuck Tato, I filed a complaint with a similar. You know, we know that he was working for
Kapolei
and what happened is that they found him guilty and he paid some money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing in the reporting where he worked for the other company and he reported, but there was some issues. Chuck Tato sent me a letter saying, well, they didn't find enough evidence to prove that. So, again, and to add insult to injury, Neil Abercrombie has appointed this young man. We've always seen him lurking around behind Nestor Garcia because he was Nestor's office manager or whatever, Daryl Young. Now, Nestor Garcia didn't steal all the cookies out of the cookie jar alone. Somebody had to watch the door, right?
Daryl Young. Okay,
so Neil Abercrombie appointed him as the deputy for Hawaiian Homelands. So, in other words, if you are shepherding a known thief that steals and lies to the people under the banner of being a council member as Nestor Garcia,
yes,
then in turn your staff gets hired out and get jobs of prominence.
I see.
Either they taught Nestor well or Nestor taught them well. My concern is that the exchange of sleaze seem to have been run rampant in that office. And Darryl Young, folk, I don't know what he's going to do for the Hawaiians, but if he does anything like Nestor, Hawaiians, you better watch out because the steel is on.
You know, you don't want to use certain words, but I will. First of all, it is beyond collusion. It is conspiratorial. And I don't even have a computer. And just reading the newspaper, listening to you and the radio and the TV, I've come up with conclusions based on empirical evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It is conspiratorial, and if you think there's nothing wrong, they're taking money from you. In this morning's paper, Hart CEO seeks cash flow clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the GET money is going to run out. The federal money is going to be limited, and they're getting less. They aren't going to be able to raise any more fees. The bus, the rail is not going to pay for itself. How will they get money? The real property tax.
Mm-hmm.
And they will take money from the water and the sewer. Just what about the roads? We are taxed on the gasoline. The money goes to the roads. No, it doesn't. Hanama Bay, the money did not go to Hamana Bay. It might have changed now because they were found guilty of using the money into the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless you. But it just goes on and on and on. And they act with impunity. They are not found guilty. If they are found guilty, nothing happens.
Yeah.
And the Hart CEO, Mr. Gerboskis, is a public relations person. He sits in front and testifies in front of the Hart board, 10 members. Not one of the Hart board is an engineer. They're all financial business people who got money out of the general fund into his bank, First Hawaiian Bonner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a, once again, I'll end, but I'm just so angry. And mm-hmm. it's not because of myself. All you people are being they're taking out of your wallets in person.
They're ripped off, basically.
Yes.
Ripped off, and maybe you can help me give a different perspective. Why is it that we have become a Democrat? We present ourselves as Democrats, and that's supposed to stand for something different from the Republicans. But I think we're lower than any party partisan politics that I've ever seen. And I think, as you say, it's criminal.
And democracy is based on deliberation and dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is being controlled. They control the media. Existentially, the newspapers have got a real problem. They may not exist. And if you get money from Muthi Hanuman for whole pages, it helps you to exist financially.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow the consolidation of the bus, rail, and van, they're only going to have to go to one entity. This is exactly what they did to the city council. They didn't want the city council, so they created Hart. Mm-hmm. Hart circumvented city council. Now, Hart could hire their own staff, hire their own lawyers, and they have power of eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
They are not elected officials. The city council, they are elected officials. And what they want to do now in terms of bus, van, and rail is exactly what they did with the city council. They circumvented it with another organization.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if you know El Saldo in the Eastern Seaboard, but just 2 days ago, they had their trains taken off. I believe it's the Washington, D.C. Metro. I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. it is the Eastern Seaboard. Because of malfunction, they were replaced by a Japanese company, which I do not know the name. But I've tried to find out, but I don't have a computer, so maybe somebody could look up the information.
Well, maybe we can ask those city council people that went to Japan. Maybe we can ask Rotam. He might recall.
yeah.
They all went over there for free sashimi and, you know, this is the way the game is played.
You know, there's Chicago. I'm from San Francisco originally. And of course, San Francisco is also guilty, but not at this extent. Your comment about come to Hawaii if you're a crooked politician mm-hmm. is because how many people vote. We have San Francisco used to have four newspapers. It's this Call, Bulletin, the News, the Examiner, and the Chronicle. They only have one paper now. We used to have two papers. Now we've only got one. And, of course, the media, if they get, they put on an issue of common concern, they only do it for one night. They don't follow up with the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Well, we're going to try, but, again, one little thing I'd like to add, and I'm going to leave this hour and come next, Charlotte. You're welcome to call back. But
sure.
One of the things is I try and share with everyone, still to date, Governor Neil Abercrombie, the liberal, the great liberal,
yes.
the great guy who's going to care for people of color and going to help the
yes.
native people. I'm a colored guy here. He won't even put me on his email mailing list to receive a press release that he sends out electronically. So, again, I have to ask, what's different about me? Mr. Neil, all these months and weeks and years that you've held off, I would think that I would be right to ask that why. So not that I'm not going to stop and get, you know, stupid on it, but again, it says a lot about this so-called democracy. Put your friends in and hire your little cronies and your doorkeepers and appoint them to deputy leadership roles to look over the welfare of the native people. Something's wrong there. But again, it's not just Neil. It's the others who join in concert and help him facilitate.
Of course.
All of them, the Hars, the Itos, the Sujis, the He's, and the She's, and whatever. But anyway, I'll come back in the next hour. Feel free to call back there. We
okay.
got a couple
Thank
of
you very much.
Aloha.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, we're going to be back here shortly. And we're going to get Ron back and share with me some more stuff. But I was interested because Ron is this is what we call green. Yes, there's chemicals involved, but biodegradable.
Correct.
And so we're going to see what happened, and we'll be back. Thank you for joining me. We'll be back in the next hour. Carol Cox.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Yes.
This is the ghetto. Showing up now.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show. That was Donny Hathaway, The Ghetto, and I equate the climate here in Hawaii and the political climate to be just that of the ghetto. Lawless, void of morals and ethics, and all the deals are done in some dark alley. And the only people that tend to have access, and I've proven that, is the drug smugglers, the drug dealers, and they're willing to, the politicians in this town. If you know what I know now about how they get their meals cooked and who serves the food and who does the dealing, wheeling and dealing in these small communities so that they can have the coffee hours, they have some serious issues about ethics and morals. And so that's what I equate it to. We may call it the capital or the state of Hawaii or the governor's office, but when we are so removed as free people and constant chipping away, constant eroding of the laws that would in fact protect our every interest as taxpayers, as free citizens, we have people orchestrating in some overt, you know, circuitous way to do these things. And I can only tell you, when I look at the names like Sharon Haar, attorney, and many of them, that it's I'm frightened by the fact that they would lend themselves to the first introduction. You know, this is these moments when they introduce bills such as the one I talked about, the journalist shield bill. That's when you pull your shoe off and throw it and hit the person that bringing that are daring to introduce it and hit them upside the head with it. It's okay. A little violence is tolerated, is accepted, because ultimately But don't dare curse. They'll throw you out and give you a ticket and prosecute you for disruption of a public process. But it is just absolutely crazy. But I talked about Nestor Garcia. So April 14th, I received this letter from Chuck Tato, the quote, ethics office, a city ethics commission. And I guess one can use words as freely as they wish in this day and time. Freedom of speech, maybe. But it is an accurate reflection of what goes on. I you know that if you were a lobster fisherman and you went and learned and you became proficient at catching lobsters and you hopped on every boat and learned how to bait the traps and become proficient and you become the most accomplished lobster fisherman there is, you become a masturbator. Well, Chuck Tato has become the person with the title of unhooking the big fish. This is he apparently have been in place so long that he professionally is able to unhook big fish, such as any politicians that comes in his sights. You give him the information, he unhooks them. We have the evidence, we have everything, and Chuck Tato has learned the quote ethics commission has convened on many of these, and in turn they now know how to unhook the big fish, like the masturbator of who has learned to catch all the lobster or whatever. But in his letter, thank you for bringing this issue to the attention of the Ethics Commission. I've reviewed your complaint against former council member Nestor Garcia regarding his failure to properly file his financial disclosures by not showing that he was employed by Dura Constructors. Now, that's the same thing he did with the Kapolei people that he was working, the Chamber of Commerce, whatever he was working on. ROH requires that the filer state source amount of income equal to or above $1,000. The same section makes an exception to this income reporting requirement for individual items of compensation that constitute a portion of the gross income of the business or profession from which the person derives income. In other words, a filer is not required to state each source of compensation. So, again, Chuck Tato unhooks the big fish. And to steal a fisherman's term, this hook that he uses has no barb. It's a barbless hook that the Ethics Commission tend to go fishing with. And even you as citizens bring in the fish. Chuck Tato seems to be his purpose in life at the Ethics Commission is to revive the fish and set them free again. One might argue that's good for conservation, but if it's a piranha, we don't want to see more piranhas, you know. And if it's we don't want to be treated like the sucker fish. So again, this is really, really disturbing. And then I see that his head office person, his being Nestor Garcia, is now appointed to head the Hawaiian Homelands as a deputy under Joby Masagatani. Now, even before this guy, Babyface Nelson, I call it, you always see Darryl Young always smiling and greeting. And I've always wondered, what is this guy up to? And then I've learned that how it works in the city council, that staff that they have, you basically are dealing with a little clique. It's not the city councilmen really don't run it. It's that little group of people that are in the office, and they exchange ideas with one another, and it's almost conspiratorial in a sense the way they operate. So if you wonder, how is it that when Nestor leaves, pretty much the same staff is there? So Darryl ended up working as first Neil sent him to, he allowed him to go to the Hawaiian Homelands and serve as a communications person, also known as block the public. You know, or close the door on the public. That's what his purpose is there. And I say that for several months now, at least 9 months or more, I have asked for delinquent accounts on the Hawaiian homeland's leases. And as you see just recently now, a report done by Keoki Kerr talks about an audit about delinquent accounts. Now, for 9 months, the governor and his people orchestrated purposely delaying releasing information to me. And I'm still begging for that. Just as recent as in the last 3 days, I've had to call Louise Kim McCoy. As we know, she was a reporter for KGMB or was in the news, and her husband was. She's now the communications person for the governor. See how this thing worked? And as I talked about earlier, and they wanted to fine. So the people that they're saying it's okay can be privileged and exempted from disclosing who gave them information or leaked information, however you want to describe it. That group of people get to walk in and out of the governor's office or a various office because they work for a entity that is privileged and exempt. So leaving all of us lowlifes, I guess, because that's what it basically constitutes. If we're not worthy of exercising our freedom of speech with this so-called HB 622, and we need some definition as to what category we're placed in, one has to wonder. These people get to walk in and out, and Neil is able to point these people and point this one as if, you know, that was Donovan De La Cruz's sister who was there before Louise Kim McCoy. So this whole thing, and I'm very uncomfortable with seeing this unfold. Whether folks would talk to me later, I don't really care, because what is more important, we're just visitors here. The children that come behind us should be able to work under a free society, a society that people, that's why I played that first song, A Ballad for the Missing Soldier, because we lose sight of what you and I, we're the ones, believe it or not, folks, you and I, the very people that are down here at the lower echelons or levels, and I don't mean to be demeaning, but we are the ones that they're going to pick from and cull from and send us off to war. Your children going to go there. And then return, they tell you, by the way, unless a large company that is, quote, recognized, have been in the business and disseminating news, no matter what quality of the news, but been disseminating this news, will exempt them. But if anybody amongst you, does that sound familiar? Anybody amongst you violate the trust of the king or whomever, or the emperor, will be beheaded and sent off to jail and left there to rot. That's basically what they're doing. They are infringing on our basic liberties. I mean basic. And who are they? The liberal governor, the Democratic governor, the Republican governor, because Thielen and all those other folks, they sat there and voted for it. McDermott, and, you know, McDermott is part of the military, the Navy, whatever that program is. I'm going stir crazy because no bill such as this should have happened. And so moving back this with this Darryl Young, so we know now that he comes from an area that is, if it was a rainforest, it's rather background is clouded. And so how is it that he is able to move and become the public relations person for the Hawaiian homeland, and then in turn? So basically, I'll tell you what it is. Neil Abercrombie put him in there to facilitate the theft of monies and time and defrauding the native people that the Hawaiian homelands has put up for. Why else would you do it? They took Michelle Kauhani. They didn't say she committed any crimes, and removed her. And if you've had the chance to speak to her, you would go away with thinking you'd be punch drunk. She's very intelligent, very sharp, native person. Who best would be able to deliver and reach out? And we all have our problems, but on the other hand, a person that is working and have been trained and skilled to learn from the best, like Nestor Garcia, or did Nestor learn from Darryl Young? And so you have a collection of folks there at the Hawaiian Homelands, and it comes as no shock that you can see for 20 years people owing money and haven't paid. And I talked about some of it. But again, Daryl Young is instrumental in holding back and not even responding, as the UIPA says that you must respond within 10, or we'll say 20 days after you get stroked. He's instrumental in that. And always, if you look at him, if you've had the chance to meet him, he's a smiling face, innocent. But this guy will tear into your flesh politically. He's there. He look as though, if you've ever seen a viper who's so innocent, looks there, you think, touch him and see what happened. You see fangs. I don't know why anyone did not object to this appointment. And again, he's there, and he's shielding, and he's blocking, and not allowing information to be disseminated. He won't return phone calls. I've had to call maybe 5 or 6 times to Louise Kim McCoy to say, I still haven't received my information. And what's funny is, you might find this entertaining, while I sometimes, you know, Young and Wong and what have you, the names and interchange, because I deal with many people daily. So I called to inquire and complain that I'm being, you know, held at the front door and my documents are not being delivered, as the law say. And I mistakenly called him Wong because I had just gotten off the phone with a Wong. Instead of saying, you know what, you've called me 3 or 4 times and this is the law, is the law. You should have had your documents. Instead, oh, his name is Young and not Wong. You need to get the names right. You see the importance that we place on, and this is this relationship. So this, again, I'm interchanging things and back and forth. This shield law is as nonsensical, and it is, again, it's unhooking the big fish. It's letting people off so that you can instill fear in free people that if you talk, we'll get you. That is what goes on in the ghetto, folks. In the ghetto, there are rules that are not written. But you know, if you speak up in the ghetto, you're found dead. You're found in a garbage can. You're found somewhere dead because you spoke up. You spoke up against the thugs that are selling drugs. You spoke up against the pimp that's prostituting. And so they come back to find out who told. Does that ring a bell? There's some ghetto behavior going on right here in this state. There is absolutely, they have taken playbook from the ghetto and now implementing those rules. And I'm not simplifying this or being foul-mouthed about it. I'm just sharing with you, it makes no difference whether you're in the ghetto or the state capital. When you start to encroach on free people in a democracy, where we're loading bombs and missiles to go abroad to afford others, quote, democracy and freedom and the right to vote. And then here, you're telling them, the people that are free, that if anybody speak to you, they're not insulated. They're not protected. So it's on Tuesday, I'm thinking the bill will be heard. So if you want to express your concerns or what, maybe you want to embrace what they're doing. But if you don't, call them up and let them know you don't like this and you appreciate the information that you do get when you get it. And my game is, I'm so far behind the clock. If I make a request today, they will stroke me for the next 6-7 months before I can get information when the law says 10 days. And every time I make a request, every time, I can make the request for more information on 10 different subjects, but each occasion they have to send it to their lawyers before they release it to me. But the laws say that I can go in the office, the general public can go in the office in any normal work hour and ask to review the records. But when it comes to people like myself and others, there's a stalling tactic. The last message I got from Daryl Young was that he is looking, going to talk to the lawyers for the agency, the DHHL, and get back to me. Now, this is after months of being promised I would get my documents. Imagine that. So it's crazy, folks. That's the way it is. But anyway, there's the Board of Water Supply. You know, we've talked about them, and I'm putting together some things that what we talk about freedom and the right to speak and the right to be protected and, you know, not be compelled to testify against yourself or whatever. The Constitution worded a little different, but you understand, you get the gist of it. In this situation, what it all boils down to is that it's one common thread, one common element is money. So let's take the Board of Water Supply. You know that I talked to you about that, and the Board of Water Supply is an autonomous, semi-autonomous organization. And I've, with the assistance of many people from around the state and other and outside of the state, asking questions because I'm not getting the straight answer from Board of Water Supply. And I'm going to post a letter later today that I wrote questions to the Board of Water Supply. And my questions were very clear. And here's some of them that I ask of the Board of Water Supply regarding billing. Now, you know they're charging a service fee for the billing now. To send you a bill, think some $7 or more. To do what? They're already ripping you off with the sewer. For example, there's one bill that I was able to view. The water cost rises to $20. The sewer fee for that bill is $73. So $93 for that bill, $7 of that $20 was for the service fee, $13 was for the water. Now, I wrote the Board of Water Supply and because I'm seeking answers, and I'm asking this guy, Damian Racoma, communications officer, right? Everything has to be done through a communications office. So, in other words, you have this one little face there sitting there, but the reality is you have a bunch of lawyers sitting in the background trying to protect Eric Coley and protect the crooks who's wearing the masks ripping us off. I wrote to them, and I said to them, I would like to ask your assistance in obtaining answers to the following questions regarding billing for water use in Honolulu. More specifically, I'm interested in the Board of Water Supply's use of computer estimates, automatic meter readers, customer care billing systems, electric communications register, and manual readers. So when did the Board of Water Supply, I ask, start using the CC&B? What was the type of software used prior to CC&B? Now, again, the CC&B is customer care billing systems. And as you know, the gentleman that bought Lanai has that beautiful yacht there. You folk out there, you should, when you see that yacht parked again, you should ask to go aboard because, in theory, down the line, you actually own that. You're actually, the money's taken out of your pocket by the Board of Water Supply. Portions of to what degree is actually funding the customer care billing system. So when you see that fancy white yacht sitting down there, that down by Kaka'ako or wherever he's going to park, and they're going to build a big building there, ask yourself, Oracle, how much information and how much relationship does Neil Abercrombie have with people like Oracle? He said on the Armed Service Committee, right? So if that's the case, you notice a lot of change. And I've always wondered, who is the guy that's going to get all of this fancy dancing going on in the governor's office? Why the rush to Kaka'ako? I'm just asking now. I don't know. You could, if you know something different and tell me I'm off my rockers or just not speaking sensibly, let me know. But Oracle manufactures or develop the customer care billing systems, which is what we now using at Board of Water Supply. And then I ask, how many bills go out per month to residents? So they tell me, they basically answered me in a way that you'd know that was lawyers answering, and you'd know that it's a bunch of malarkey what they answered with, but this is what we get. If we had a perfect system where the agencies would be honest and open, I shouldn't have to ask this information. It should be on the website. But instead, I have to ask these questions. So, how many residential properties does the Board of Water Supply bill? How many go out per month? And I also asked that about the federal properties, the federal housings, because if these places have leaks and they're doing estimates, are the estimates accurate? And if they're not, is the federal government being ripped off? We know that we can be. One lady talked about a $900 bill here recently. Do any of the computer estimates go longer than 30 to 45 days? And how many meter mechanics are employed by Board of Water Supply? How many meters are they required to manually check? Anyway, I'm going to post these questions up that I've have, but just give you an idea. Here's how they respond. They being the Board of Water Supply. And you got to sit back and take an aspirin or something to figure out what they're saying, because it's all gobbledygook and fancy wording. But the reality is they didn't bother to answer specifically point to point. But the CC&B vendor has not advised the Board of Water Supply of any specific problems with the software. Well, if they didn't, then that means the system is working perfect. And if that is the case, then we shouldn't have to have estimates. And the previous system was developed in-house using software, AG, Adabos Natural. The move to the new system offered the opportunity to also move to monthly billing. As a result, on January 22, 2013, when the Board of Water Supply switched to CC&B, it also started phasing in monthly billing. The transition will take about 3 months to complete. Let me tell you something, folks. Right now, I would like to call for an audit, but not an in-house audit, not a city-sponsored audit, but an audit from federal officials or an independent entity, because this move serves to hide and conceal the ripoff that occurred in this earlier system. They're not willing to talk about it. They're not willing, and you can't get the records. And God forbid if someone leaked those records, they go to jail. But they have no problem in attaching a $7-plus fee to process your bill when, in fact, we're already paying through our eyes and nose for the water service. So some of the questions that they basically answered methodically, the CC&B vendor did not advise. As with mainstream off-the-shelf software package, there will be an occasional software patches and versions releases that may need to be applied. Since the launch of CC&B, the Board of Water Supply has been performing daily checks and conducting quality assurance and control activities to assure system accuracy and integrity. That's a strange word. They're using the word integrity. That, I guess anybody can use that word. Nobody has a patent on it. The results of these tests achieve the following: methodically validated that input-output transactions were created, accounted for, balanced, and processed properly. Validated bills for each rate and customer class for calculation accuracy and consistency. Reviewed a subject of buildings and verified it prior to printing and mailing. Well, if that's the case, how did we see that $900 bill? And we can only guess how many seniors out there that just simply don't know, or if you've tried to call the customer service or their story don't make it to the media, how many of those exist? And if one person is having to go without food to pay their water, we don't know. There's a lot of people that are on fixed income. Imagine. So they ran integrity check scripts to ensure transactions and record counts matched. Validated reference and historical data. So here's what I ask. Just yesterday, we had three water main breaks. Just yesterday, in one day. How is it that a company that is a non-state but a state, and we have on any given day a water main break? So let's say, with the common occurrences of these water main breaks, they're so loosely run that I believe there's a large percentage of the potholes that we witness in certain areas on the roads. When they go and repair the water main break, they're just patching quickly. Does that contribute to the quality of the low quality of the roads and the common occurrence of potholes? So that's just something. So why and what are they doing to aggressively, because not only is it costly and create potholes, but any given, every tend to show up every morning, it's going to impact traffic. It's going to cause some problems or disruption in family life, or they'll bring a tank. But try and follow that. And how is it that this agency can repeatedly behave in this fashion and no one's getting excited? So, yeah, the pipes are aged, but shouldn't they be more aggressive in trying to detect leaks and find out? I suspect that you probably can detect these leaks or have some system set up to detect the potential failure of the water main breaks in certain lengths of pipe. I don't know what they use, but what they said was that with the implementation of monthly billing, the Board of Water Supply issues approximately 170,000 bills per month. 170,000 bills, and you just quietly have an in-house hearing, and you approve a $7 plus fee. $7 times 170,000 bills per month. Imagine the revenue that this company or this agency is getting. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I do. You know, your letter said there that the bills are verified. I'm just curious. So they sit supposedly in what, have a team of people there that sit and verify every single bill that's sent out before it's sent out? You go down there and there's like a couple people in the office. Where's this team that verifies every bill going out? That just sounds preposterous. At its face right there. And the second comment I have is, you know, when you travel to states like, let's say, Washington or Oregon, where it rains every single day pretty much, you don't see potholes. So it's amazing to me that whenever it rains here, that the potholes just magically pop up. It's as if they're filled with sugar, and it just melts away when the rain comes. And it seems to me that if they wanted to save some money, maybe they'd find out what states like Oregon and Washington use, because you drive on their roads and it rains every day and they don't have potholes. So I'm wondering, you know, couldn't they find out what kind of material is used that will actually last?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's like sugar. It really is. And, I mean, I personally, sometimes you know, they say, well, don't hit the potholes because in your car, you know, you're going to, your alignment's going to go off and your tires are going to wear. And when you drive, let's say, to Pearl Ridge on a daily basis to go to work, you can't avoid the potholes because you, to stay in the lane, you're going to hit a pothole. And you know, I'm thinking I'm going to go down and get my alignment fixed. It cost me $500, ended up, after getting alignment in all four tires.
Well, you know,
and
you can
by
file
that point, it's hard to prove, you know?
You can file a tort claim or go to the city and file, but I don't know what their return is and what have you. But, yeah, if it happened today and 4 months later, that you wouldn't know to associate.
That's exactly right. You can't prove it. And I saw a report on the news that stated how much they actually pay out for people that submit their claim, and it's very minor. It's very minor, a few thousand dollars, and which people have just given up, it seems, and they just deal with it. But,
well, we need to,
you know, back to the pothole situation. I mean, really, seriously, I mean, the stuff that they use, they must have a contract with people that fill the potholes, and they just, you know, use those same companies over and over and over, and, right, and they must just be laughing at us because they know what they're putting in there is not going to last.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. All right, aloha. Good morning, Carly. Have a comment, a question?
Yes, Carol. Hi, good morning. I have some information, not about the water supply, but about a comment you made earlier about the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Hey, I got some information.
Well,
2008, a Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility recreational specialist had a ward or youth call him out to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The rec specialist then ordered the youth to get into the state van, and they drove the youth across the street to the facility gym with no cameras. While in the gym by themselves, the recreational specialist called the kid out to fight. At this time, the kid begged for forgiveness. All the while the rec specialist was threatening the kid with bodily harm.
Mm-hmm.
The recreational specialist then drove the kid back to the facility, the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility. A short time after, this recreational specialist told the social worker who was there what happened. The social worker then reported this to administration. The administration then placed the recreational specialist on 1 year paid leave while under investigation. The facility was contemplating of charging this specialist with terroristic threatening and kidnapping. Once the Department of Human Services caught wind of this, they said no, because they were still under federal investigation for the incident that happened a few years ago. Oh, it gets better, Carol. Guess what they did? They then brought this recreational specimen back to the facility as a correctional supervisor one. Department of Human Services, this came from way up, then discredited the kid's story and told the social worker not to say anything. So now you have a correctional supervisor one that is currently working there, and this is ridiculous. They swept everything under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, when the facility was contemplating of charging him with terroristic threatening and kidnapping, they were going to call the cops. But like I said, the Department of Human Services caught wind of this. And they said, no, you can't do that, because if you call the cops, and this correctional specialist is found guilty, guess what?
Fans will be back.
The liabilities where the kid can sue the mm-hmm. facility for kidnapping and being in an unsafe environment.
Mm-hmm.
Correctional Supervisor 1 was promoted from the recreational specialist is currently working there, and this is ridiculous. And last week, that story you did last week about that guy, it's the same thing that happened. They bring him back, not in the same position, because they can't. They bring back the guards, the youth correctional officers. They bring back these youth correctional officers, not to the same position, because they can't, but they promote them, and they tell them, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you think they're going to say anything after getting a raise and a promotion? No. Mm-hmm. That's how they work at the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility. Department of Human Services has this entire incident on file, but you're going to need a subpoena to get it out of them. This is ridiculous.
Okay,
that correctional supervisor one who's working there goes by the initials of EY. We're on to you, buddy. We're going to get you.
Okay, thank
you. That's all I have to say, Charles.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, the so that some of you know, I've actually received information, and this is, I've not talked to this person or had conversation. The name is, I'm familiar with the name, and I'm inquiring. But again, lockdown, as I described last week. And someone actually called and said that people that were calling in on the show were calling in were also accused of is on leave without pay, with pay or without pay, for other violations against the wards. So what I can say in this whole process that I've witnessed and the information I'm privy to, the limited, I should say, one thing I for those that are listening out there, the officers and the ones that want to share information, it does serves no good purpose for you to call on the show and then promise you're going to send something, because then you stoop as low as the people you're accusing. In my opinion, that's just going to tell you the straight skinny. If you call this show, I'm all about hoping to make a change for the good of people. So if you call and spill your guts and get dumped and get all the emotional bit of it, remember, my purpose is trying to make a difference, a good difference. So if I can say respectfully and politely, if you don't intend to follow up with the information, then you're no more different than the people you're complaining about. That's the ghetto. That's the way it is, the silent word. So whispers and innuendo will protect no one in a democracy. We can't make a change if we just spout and piss and moan and then walk away. That's not my style. I'll go to the umpteenth degree to try and ferret out this information and get down, but it serves no purpose and no good purpose to call up and say things or write me an email challenging the other people that have already presented, and then you walk away. That's not the purpose of this show. It's not a place where you go and relieve yourself. If you want a place to relieve yourself, call Paradise Lure or something, place like that, that rent outhouses. But this is not the dumping grounds. Because there are children involved. There are people can be falsely accused, and I don't want to be part of that program that fail the children or fan the flames of false statements and what have you. I don't like that. So anyway, so if you're going to write me with some follow-up. Don't write me pissing and moaning, because that just becomes spam. And if you are going to follow up, write it, unless if we're doing it to make a change, fine. If we're not, leave me out of it. Okay, hey Ron, but you're back in with me, and this is Ron Erlich. So on your business there, your mobile auto enhancement, again, I was asking you about this is the new business, but you've done other places, other work like this. You have a history of, and I've seen people talk about how this guy makes them shine, so what are some of the other things you like to share with the listeners out there that if they need this, or how long of a return on the appointment that you can respond to them?
Appointment time. We try to get a lot of convenience for everybody, so hopefully within a day or so. Mm-hmm. We've been getting a lot of phone calls already. Been around for almost 12 years, factory trained, great products. Mm-hmm. Guys that I have, they've been with me almost 12 years. They have close to about 200 hours of machine application buffing. Mm-hmm. Again, we're trying to be in compliance, and you know, I've been a good friend of you, and I know how the environment is and what have you. So this time around, we decided to go mobile with waterless car wash products, mm-hmm. Biodegradable. try to help the environment, the workers. You know, yeah. We don't want anybody getting hurt, sick. Yeah. You know, yeah.
More than a million cars on the island, and they all need cleaning once in a while.
Right.
And mine's the exception. but it's not that bad. So it would be good to do something green, mm-hmm. in a sense, to protect the environment and whatever. So I was thinking, how can they be assured, like me, when a guy shows up with a buffer, what's to assure the public that you're not going to rub their Mercedes and leave buffer scratches, or the guy's not going to fall asleep? You got insurance?
We got full coverage insurance. We got a guy that's certified, licensed, certificate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have my factory certificate. It's up in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Right, very Philadelphia. But I need to go back up there and touch bases with the guys, bring it back home. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of guys that do detailing. I respect each and every one of the shops out there.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, we have this product that's coming out. It's supposed to gauge how thick the clear coat is so we can show customers before and after. There's a lot of guys out there that do a lot of detailing, and I give them a lot of props. It's a lot of hard work, man hours, labor. All I can say is just try it out, see if it's something you guys like. You guys like the quality, the service, the vehicles before and after look, appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your guys' main gauge to see if it's something you guys like out of that service.
Yeah, if you kept, and then these mats that you use to absorb the tire wash or what have you, you throw those in the trash can. They're disposed of. They don't run down the drain. They go to the landfill.
Correct.
Huh? Yeah. Sounds good. And so waterless is pretty much. Are you using any water at all? Or some?
It's in that spray bottle, but it's not where we go to people's houses and we start draining 20, 25 gallons of water from their house, nor our system. It's in about a quart.
Okay.
Size bottle. Yeah.
So in other words, you're not hooking up the hoses.
Correct.
And power, you're self-portable and all of that. So therefore, you don't even have to attach anything to the fountains or to the faucets outside.
Correct.
Or plug in. Okay.
Correct.
So again, Mobile Auto Enhancement, their website is MAE808.com. And Ron's number is 954-0323. You never know when you're going to need to shine it up, you know. But yeah, that's a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
But you got to come back and it's always good to reach out and help someone. And maybe I might even, if it's not that I won't hire you, it's just that I don't have time.
No worries, got you back.
Yeah, well, thank you. And anyway, I just had to change the little subject there. But thank you, and I hope your success. And you come back, and we'll talk some more. But again, before I go, this is the Board of Water Supply is working to reduce amount of improper reads. So what's an improper read on these meters? The Board of Water Supply is currently working to replace approximately 60,000 water meter batteries throughout Oahu. So if they're repairing and replacing batteries on these so-called meters, how many of that 60,000 are they getting an accurate or inaccurate read? These batteries were nearing the end of their lifespan. Since February, an average of approximately 5,000 batteries are being replaced each week. The Board of Water Supply anticipates this project will be completed around April 2013. The project, however, is only part of the solution as the Board of Water Supply. If you want my opinion, this is just nothing but a snow job. And I have been snowed, folks. I wrote them a straightforward set of questions, and I got back gobbledygook and propaganda. The Board of Water Supply currently has 15 meter readers. The meter readers check and read approximately 8,500 water meters each day. When they say check and read, that's, remember now, some of these are just, you're just driving by, so you're really not checking them per se, but it's 8,000 they give. They have 7 water meter mechanics. The number of meters they work on each day varies by size of the meter and physical condition of the meter and its components. So anyway, and I asked the question of there's Miss Uesugi, Miss Susan. My question was specific regarding Miss Susan Uesugi. A search of the internet found Miss Uesugi is listed on Zoom Info as a trustee with Bowers and Kubota Consulting. Was she ever a trustee with Bowers and Kubota? If yes, please provide time of service as trustee. If she served as trustee with the trusteeship and the trusteeship has been terminated, what is the termination date? What is her original date of hire with Board of Water Supply? This is when you know you're getting the wash. The Board of Water Supply, their answer was, has no knowledge of our record of Ms. Uesugi being a trustee with Bowers and Kubota. Her original date of hire with Board of Water Supply was June 1, 1981. It would have been, well, we will be checking into it and we will get back to you. And we are, like you, concerned that her name would be listed with the, as a trustee of a company that provides service to the Board of Water Supply. Anyway, snow job after snow job. Yes, it snows in Hawaii, believe it or not, on a daily or hourly base here. We just don't see it, but it's in our minds. So anyway, thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you next week. I have a we're going to post here later in a couple of days a graph and to help you understand this whole process of the water and the measurements and the metering and what have you. And we'll talk to you later. But please, if it's good information on the on any subject, especially the youth authority, please don't hesitate to call us up and give facts, because we don't want to be full of hot air and waste our time or your time, because there are children involved. And yes, they may have done something wrong, but we want to make sure that we serve them and help them make things better and better citizen, better for us all. So anyway, we'll talk to you next week and have a lot more to talk about, and we'll see you soon.
Tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.